Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his...
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 27th of September, 2017. It is pre-recorded because sundown of the 26th to sundown of the 27th is Yom Kippur, the day of covering over, and we celebrate it as a Christian celebration, fast, because of the final covering over by the perfect blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, Redeemer of true Israel. So we don't sacrifice anything on this day as they did in the old days, because the final sacrifice has been completed. We fast, read scripture, and contemplate the blessing given to us by Yahweh, our Elohim, through the sacrifice made by Yeshua HaMashiach, Yahweh in the flesh. So it is a Christian holiday. We are in the Ezra-Nehemiah series. This is part 5 for today. They were originally one book, but were separated by the Catholic Church years ago. They are all tied together. Therefore, I am doing Ezra and Nehemiah reunited here. Nehemiah, this book occurred between chapter 6 and chapter 7 of Ezra for the timeline. I finished Ezra, so we're dropping back between chapter 6 and 7. That's what this entire book is on the timeline. They're rebuilding the temple, and the enemies of Israel that were around them didn't want Jerusalem restored and the temple rebuilt. So they're busy doing their little lying and writing nasty letters with lies in them. But they were foiled, Nehemiah and the rest of the people, in the last chapter. Went ahead with the rebuilding. It's chapter 4, verse 1 is chapter 4, verse 7. And your King James, they messed with the word order and the order of the chapters. Pardon me. In the Hebrew, verse 1 in the Hebrew is verse 7 in your King James. So if you're reading in the King James, you'll want to go to verse 7 when I start in on verse 1 here. There are 17 verses in chapter 4 in Hebrew, and I am following the Hebrew because the English has been tampered with so badly. So let's get started with verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabi, that's the Arabians, and the Ammoni, that's the Ammonites, and the Ashdodi, that's the Ashdodites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were restored upward. You'll notice a difference there in the words. And that the breaches began to be stopped up, then they were very angry. And the angry here is to become furious, to burn, become angry, be kindled. It is kara in the Hebrew. Let me clear my lungs out here. Okie dokie. Verse 2. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to do disturbance to it. Okay, disturbance is 8442. Verse 3. This is Nehemiah writing, or Ezra writing the story. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto Eloheinu, that means our God, that would be Yahweh, and set a guard over them day and night because of them, the enemies, because of their presence. Verse 4, and Yehuda said, that's the people of Yehuda, okay, the strength of the bearers of burdens is weakened. In other words, the people that were clearing out the rubbish. The strength of the bearers of burden, 5449, is weakened. And there is much rubbish, 6083. That literally means dust. So that we are not able to rebuild the wall. Verse 5. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. Well, they had spies in the enemy camp, and they knew what they were planning. Verse 6. And it came to pass, when the Yaudim, which dwelt by them, came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us. And then that's implied they will be upon you. Okay. That's the enemies of Yehuda. Would attack them, and they were warned by the people that dwelled near those enemies. Verse 7, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the bare places I even set the people after their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Verse 8, he's setting guards. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, be ye not afraid from their presence. Remember Yahweh, which is great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. In other words, trust in Yahweh and be not afraid. That's what he said to them. Amen and amen. We need to do that today. Trust in Yahweh. We got all these distractions, false this and false that and phony this and phony that. And we're all concerned about all this stuff and nonsense. We need to be getting our spiritual house aright with Yahweh and prepare for the tribulation that is coming. Yahweh has everything in hand in the entire universe. Nothing will happen unless it is His will. So quit worrying. Verse 9. And it came to pass, when our hated enemies heard that it was known unto us, and Elohim had frustrated their counsel, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. All right, now listen to this, verse 10. And it came to be from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held or strengthened both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the body armor, and the officers were behind all the house of Yahuda. Verse 11. They which rebuilt upon the wall, and they that bore burdens with those that loaded up the stuff, with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. They did their work, but they were packing. Verse 12, for the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so built. And he that blew the shofar was by me. That was to sound an alarm. Verse 13, and I said unto the nobles, and to the officials, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. Verse 14, in what place you hear the sound of the shofar, gather there unto us, our Eloheinu shall fart for us. That means our God. Verse 15. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Verse 16. Likewise at the same time I said unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. Now everybody come inside the city so you don't get caught outside in small groups by these enemies. Good thinking. Good thinking. I mean, they had some wise heads there getting ready for battle. So neither I nor my brothers nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving every one put them off for washing. In other words, they were fully slept, fully dressed, so they could jump up and do battle. Oh, yes. Boy, that's great. Just be ready. Be vigilant. That's how we're going to have to be during the tribulation period. When everything really hits and we're out and there's all this stuff, bad stuff going on, we are going to have our loins girded for battle at all times. That's what I keep telling everybody in my prepper shows. I just finished the last prepper show last Thursday, part 3. Now we're in chapter 5. This is to do with abolishing interest payments. Verse 5, and there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Ya'udim. For there were that said, we are many. Our sons and daughters therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, our lands, vineyards, and houses we have given in pledge that we might get corn because of the famine. You notice the change in the word order in those verses. That's corrected because the King James have moved the words around. Let me get a drink of water here. There were also that said, we had borrowed money for the king's tribute, and upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brothers, the children as children, and lo, we subject our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage. Neither is it in the power of our hand for our lands and vineyards other men have. In other words, they had exacted interest, usury, which is forbidden in Israel, and were stealing through usury the property and substance of the people. Okay, well, this is what happens. See, this is a continuing apostasy that was the problem. They brought that stuff back from Babylon. Verse 6, and I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Verse 7, chapter 5. Reference Exodus 22. Oop, I got something down the wrong pipe here, folks. I ate an energy bar earlier and I had a little piece of peanut or something left. Exodus 22:25, Leviticus 25:35-37, Deuteronomy 23:19-20, Psalms 15:5, Proverbs 28:8, Isaiah 24:2, Jeremiah 15:10, and Ezekiel 18:8, 13:17, and 22:12, all on this verse number 7. Pardon me. Then I consulted with my heart, and I contended with the nobles and the officials, and said unto them, you lend at usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. Ooh. Verse 8, and I said unto them, we, after our sufficiently, have brought back our brethren, the Ya'udim, which were sold unto the nations, and will you even sell your brethren? Usurers. we've got white people of the people of Israel today that are doing usury. They work for these banks. Continuing on, or shall they be sold unto us? Then they were silent and found nothing, and found no answer, no words, okay? Verse 9, also I said, it is not a good thing that you do. Ought you not to walk in the fear of Eloheinu, that's our God, because of the reproach of the nations of our hated enemies? Verse 10. I likewise and my brethren and my servants might lend to them money and corn. Now let us leave off or abandon this usury. He's reading them the riot act out of scriptures. Verse 11, restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses. Also the hundredth part of the money and of the corn, the new wine, and the fresh oil that you lend to them at usury. Verse 12, then they said, we will restore to them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as you say. They were shamed in front of the people. Usury is an abomination of the Jews. Okay? Israel doesn't do usury. It's strictly forbidden. You don't lend money out at usury, and you don't borrow at usury. Then I called the priest and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. Verse 13, also I shook my lap and said, like you're shaking crumbs out of your garment, so Elohim shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performs not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied. In other words, lose all his stuff because of their greed, their wicked greed. And all the congregation said, amen. And that means truly. And praised Yahweh, and the people did according to this promise. So he stopped usury in Jerusalem at that time. That shows you how Yahweh wants it. You don't do usury if you're an Israelite. Verse 14, moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Yehuda, from the 20th year even unto the 230th year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. Okay. He didn't do what the other governors did. He's going to show that here in verse 15. He didn't take his salary, in other words. But the former governors that had been before me were heavy upon the people, and have taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants dominated over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of Elohim. In other words, he was going by Yahweh's laws, And he wasn't doing what these greedy politicians did before. Because he gave everything and they were rebuilding Jerusalem. Verse 16, yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered there unto the work. In other words, he had his whole household. He was paying employees to rebuild the wall. Okay, he was walking the walk, not just giving lip service. Verse 17, moreover, 150 of the Yahudim and officials, besides those that came unto us from among the nations that surround us, were at my table. In other words, he fed a bunch of people that had come to do the work. Verse 18, now that which was prepared each day was one ox and six selected sheep. Also birds were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor. He wasn't taking a salary, he paid for all of this. Because the service was heavy upon this people. And the people would have had to provide this because he was governor. He didn't take anything from the people. He gave to the people. This is an example for us. Verse 19. Remember me, Elohai, that is my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people, his kinsmen of Israel. Kinsmen, kinsmen, kinsmen. This is what you do for your blood kinsmen of Israel. So we don't bleed dry our brothers and sisters. Now, this is not an ego thing, but I'm going to tell you, I'm assembling a lot more medical supplies on my own for people that don't have any when all this trouble hits because of this example and other examples given in Scripture. Does this cost me money? Yes, it does. Do I have a lot of money? No, I don't. But what is money today but worthless paper? It is a tool to be used to help your brothers and sisters in Israel. Now, how can I ask others to set aside things to help their brothers and sisters if I don't do it myself? That is hypocrisy. Everybody needs to help each other with each other's burdens. Okay? We can't just talk. We've got to do. I can't make anybody else do. And I certainly can't inspire anybody to do if I myself do not do. Okay? I'm not setting myself up as any high muckety muck or holier than thou. That's not the point I'm trying to make. I truly believe the words of this book that I read to you. I live my life according to those words. Oh, I've got naysayers, and I don't care about it. The words of the Scriptures are a how-to manual for living your life. How can I read them to you if I don't follow them? That's the point. There are so many out there today, especially in the Judeo-Christian churches, that read stuff and then they go back out into the world and their whole lifestyle is opposite what they have read. I just can't handle that. Okay, I'm sorry. That's not my way. I belong to Yahweh. Everything I have is loaned to me by Yahweh. My very life is Yahweh's. Okay? I have been an utter idiot for a lot of my life. I lived in the world. I was in a biker club and drank and caroused and smoked dope and womanized and did all the things against Scripture. All right, he's changed me. He has taken my life and cleaned it up. Not me. I fear and hold in awe Yahweh. I guess it's due to age. You get older, you get a little more sense. At least you're supposed to. But I see a lot of old idiots out there that haven't changed their ways. I don't want to be one of them. It is very important to me at this time of my life to walk this walk, regardless of whether it's inconvenient or dangerous, or I have to suffer poverty. Doesn't matter. Yahweh first, that's my motto. And everything else, well, it'll all come along as it's supposed to, I guess. Let's get into chapter 6. Now it came to pass when Sanballat, these are the enemies again, and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabi, that's Arabian, and the rest of our hated enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there was no breach, no gaps left in it, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. See, this all occurred between chapter 6 and 7 in Ezra. This was going on at the same time Ezra was doing his thing. And Ezra wrote down all this stuff that Nehemiah did. Okay? He kept a record of all of this. And then it was all in one writing by Ezra. Ezra, pardon me. I don't know why I put that D in there. Then the Romish church separated the books when Jerome came in. Like they separated a lot of the stuff, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. That was all one book, 1st and 2nd Kings. All one book, okay? They messed with stuff. Well, I'm not going to hold with that. Verse 2 of chapter 6. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. Well, that's what they said, but they thought to do me harm. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I am not able to come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? There was no way, Jose. Not happening. Verse 4, yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, in which it was written, it is heard among the nations, and Geshem says it, that you and the Ya'udim think to rebel, for which cause you build the wall, that you may become their king according to these words. Verse 7, and you have appointed prophets to preach of you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Yehuda, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. And he wasn't having any of that. In other words, if you don't come and meet with me so I can murder you, I'm going to lie to the king. Well, what else? You know, that's the modus. That's the way they worked. Well, they work the same way today. If you don't do what we say, we're going to lie about you. That's what the mainstream press is doing. Then I sent unto him, verse 8, I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as you say, but you devise them out of your own heart. Verse 9. Because they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, and it has, O God, in italics, it's not in the Hebrew, strengthen my hands. Verse 10. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliahu, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. In other words, he was an invalid. And he said, let us meet together in the house of Elohim, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay you. Yea, in the night will they come to slay you. He's warning him that they're going to try to kill him. Send assassins into the city. See, there were no doors on the gates, so they could come in and out. Verse 11, and I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I, would go into the temple to live? I will not go in. Verse 12. And lo, I perceived that Elohim had not sent him, but that he pronounced a prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was a shill for the enemy. Well, how many shills are out there on TV today that we see? Notice the comparison of those times and this time. How many willing shills and fearmongers have we got today to make us afraid? Oh, Planet X. Oh, this. Oh, superstorms. We just saw that this last storm, Pastor Dan had a show all about it, that it was nothing more than a tropical storm. It wasn't a giant threatening hurricane. He's right in the middle of it. He put the lie to them. He said he called BS on it. And he was right there. That's an eyewitness account. So, good for you, Pastor Dan. Good for you. Good job. Verse 13. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin. Fall short of right or duty. In other words, leave the work and go hide in the temple. That they might have an evil report, that they might reproach me. See, he left the work. They tried to trick him into doing their bidding. Well, Yahweh stopped that. Verse 14, Elohai, that's my God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works. And on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. They had a bunch of false prophets. Verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. Verse 16, and it came to pass that when all our hated enemies heard of it, now the month Elul is September, and all the nations that surrounded us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. They were humbled, for they perceived that this work was wrought of Eloheinu, that's our God. Verse 17, moreover, in those days, many of the nobles of Yehuda sent letters unto Tobiah, and of Tobiah came unto them. Verse 18, for there were many in Yehuda sworn by oath, Lord of oath, unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arach, and his son Yehochanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Well, they were little rats working for the enemy, the Israelites' enemy will be of their own house. That's what happened here. These were Israelites that were working against Israel. Well, how many Israelites out there today are working against Israel? Now, that ends chapter 6. Chapter 7 is a long chapter with lots of names and stuff in it. And I really can't get it in today. I would do disservice by trying it. I would have to stop in the middle, and I'm not going to do that. But let's look at today's reading and analyze it according to what's going on today. We have to compare then with now. Building the wall, strengthening Jerusalem, gathering the people of Yehuda. What is that today? That is gathering the remnant by preaching of the word so that the remnant that will be gathered, that will be drawn by Yahweh, hears the word and comes to be one of his. Okay? They come to Yahweh worship. They realize the truth. And they're coming in. The remnant that came back from Babylon was small in number compared to the former number. A lot of people died. The remnant today is small in number compared to the overall number of the people of Israel existing on this planet. Many of Israel, true Israel, have hardened their hearts and they're in Judeo-Christianity and they don't want to hear the word. Okay? We are rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, fortifying against the hated enemies of Israel by preaching the word and inspiring people to read it and gather back to Israel. Okay? That's what's going on today. These enemies were the non-Israelites back in those days, all around them. Well, the enemies are the non-Israelites today. The mixed breed mongrel Jews, the Muslims, the blacks, the homosexuals, all enemies of Yahweh, all enemies of Jacob Israel. They hate us. They hate what we stand for. They hate our God. They hate our Redeemer, Yeshua Messiah. They hate Christianity. Same deal back then. They didn't have Christianity, but they had true Yahweh worship at that point. Calling on the name of Yahweh, not the Lord or God. Well, parallels today. They wanted to kill Nehemiah. They want to kill today anybody that preaches the word. You know, you think, oh, you're sitting there and you're doing all this and you don't think they would like to do me in. They tried it once before and I outfought them. Yahweh preserved me. I didn't die like a good citizen. Oh, pardon me. So that makes me a criminal in the eyes of the federal system. Not an actual criminal. Self-defense is not unlawful. But they hate me today because I lived, and they are afraid of me because I lived, because they see Yahweh's protection on my life. Okay, they might be able to kill me, but only if Yahweh lets them. And it will be to his glory. And if I have the chance to praise him as I am dying, I will do so. This life means nothing. It's only a testing ground. It's temporary. It ends. The life that I will have through Yeshua Messiah will not end. I will not be subjected to arthritis. I won't need glasses. I'll have all new teeth that won't wear out. You know, I won't have any hearing problems. I won't have this stupid cough that I've got. I will have a glorified body. I believe that promise. I don't care if anybody else thinks it's foolish. I don't care if anybody else calls me names. I don't care. Yahweh first. Everything else will come out in the wash. If you put Yahweh first and you follow his teachings and these scriptures, your life is going to be blessed. You may not be rich. You may not get a lot of stuff in the world, but I don't worship stuff. I worship Yahweh. Stuff? I came out of prison with nothing. The clothes on my back. That's it. Eli James helped me greatly because he is inspired by Yahweh to do so. That's a blessing from Yahweh. Since then, even on my meager little Social Security income, I have saved and saved and saved, and I have two super duper computers here to do work in EFR. That's a blessing. That's stuff, okay? But it's stuff in service of Yahweh. I'm not looking at porn and garbage on the internet. You'll always find me in one of the EFR chat rooms or the new ensign associating with Yahweh believing people. I don't go on Twitter. I don't do Twitter or Facebook or any of the other nonsense. I don't have anything to say to non-believers. I really don't. I say my piece on my shows like this one. That's what I have to say. It's not open for discussion or argument. I don't want to fight with libtards. You're not going to teach them anything. They're beyond hope. Don't go to demonstrations. I teach the Word because nothing else but the Word matters. Reality is the Word. Everything else is illusion. All that crap they put on TV, all that crap they put on the internet is designed to divide Israel and to deceive Israel and to distract them from getting their spiritual life straight. It is designed by the devil and his children to break the faith of Israel. It is a consistent, non-ending attack. It has been since the very beginning. He desires to break our faith in Yahweh, therefore causing our spiritual death. That's his master plan. Now, Yahweh's master plan is different. He calls to people, and if people ignore that call, oh, I'll get around to it later. And they never do. If you ignore the call of Yahweh to come back to him, and you continue to do that, your spirit will be seared, and he will leave you. He will not call you anymore. You've walked away one too many times. I see it all the time. Oh, don't bother me with all that religious garbage. I don't. I'm busy. I'm busy doing what? Gathering stuff. Yep. Is that stuff going to give you eternal life? No. When Yahweh's wrath comes upon the planet, as it will when Yeshua Messiah returns, is stuff going to protect you? No. If you have the mark of Yahweh written upon your forehead and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, different story. If you truly believe in Yahweh and try to walk his walk, it takes effort. You have to walk the walk, not just say, oh, I believe. Well, the devil believes. But what does he do? Well, if you believe, what do you do about it? What do you do with the knowledge of Yahweh? What do you do with it? That's what's being examined. What you do, not what you say once a week in a church. What do you do in your life? Are you living your life to the standard set in the scriptures? Oh, we're not going to be absolutely perfect. There was only one that was perfect. And he died to cover over our sins, but he expects a conscientious effort on our part to change our lifestyles to match his teachings in the scriptures. He gave us the Torah, all the law, then he gave us the prophets that showed what's coming and how to live your life and the consequences of disobedience. Then he has the writings, which we're into now. The Ketubim, the writings, that give all this historical things of what happens with those that obeyed Yahweh's laws and those that didn't. It gives our history, Israel. This is the history of our people. Ezra and Nehemiah. We need to learn by this. We need to compare the actions of then with the actions of now. It is a teaching mechanism. It gives you prior examples that you can compare to today's examples and see the similarities and the differences. All of these teachings are designed to help you in the how-to manual of living your life according to Yahweh's design. If we trust in Yahweh and we obey Yahweh, we will be blessed. If we do not, we will be cursed. We've been told that over and over and over. These enemies of Israel back then were foiled and were made ashamed. Well, these enemies of Israel today are going to be foiled and made ashamed. And if you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, it will tell you what happens when Yeshua HaMashiach comes back. It is going to be with flaming fire and avenging angels to slay all of those who do not know Elohim. That's the divine being, Yahweh. Old Testament, intermediary books, and New Testament are all one gospel. You cannot separate the books. Yeshua taught Torah. That's what he taught. And he explained it better, more fully explained everything. And he fulfilled that final sacrifice. That's what his quote-unquote job was. He was here to redeem pure-blooded Israel and none other. Well, I'm down just about close to a minute before I need to close. I thank you for listening. I hope you have a holy Yom Kippur in honor of the sacrifice made by Yeshua HaMashiach at Calvary when he covered over our sins for all time. And those of us that are new Israelites born after that time, if we accept that sacrifice and come under that covenant, we will be blessed as sheep of his pasture and will have eternal life through him. All praise and all glory to Yahweh, Elohe Israel. Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.